It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
A-M-B-E-R-M-A-Y. That's fly. A-M-B-E-R-M-A-Y. That's fly.
Time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot. It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
We go into the OR and Rylan is scared. He's completely out of his comfort zone. He has no clue what's going on. And we start playing Oh How He Loves Us. Mm-hmm. Rylan loved that song at the time. And so we're playing it. And the nurse walks in. And we turn the music off like when we see him coming in. So he didn't even know what song was playing. And he starts going through the questions, and they're about to wheel him into the OR because they need to find out what type of cancer he has. So they're doing a bone marrow biopsy. And Brad tells Rylan, just sing your song, Rylan. Just sing your song. Don't be scared. Just sing your song. And of all the nurses that could have came in, this nurse says, what's your song? And Brad says, oh, how he loves us. And the guy says, I know that song. And he sang it to him all the way until Rylan walked through the OR. And I'm pretty sure that he probably sang it to him until he fell asleep.
Oh, my god!
Let me just say how Rylan didn't cry, didn't scream out in fear. He just laid there, and the nurse just sang and sang and sang.
My gosh.
And I thought, you are there, God. Like, you're right there. And so Rylan had his procedure. It was about an hour long. We sat in the lobby, and we had to wait 2 days to find out what type of cancer he had as far as leukemia, what it branched off into. And then once those results came back in, then comes the treatment plan.
How did you break this to his younger brothers? Was there a long waiting period before you told him, or did you guys tell him right away? How did that go about?
Well, Levi is my youngest, and Levi at the time was only 9 months old, so that one was pretty easy. But Gavin was 2, turning 3. It was 2 months before his 3rd birthday. So he didn't quite get it, but he knew there was something going on because when I was at the hospital, Brad was home. Or when Brad was at the hospital, I was home. Or somebody was with them so that we were both at the hospital. And power of technology, because every night before bed, we would FaceTime and we would pray together. So Gavin knew that Rylan was sick, but he didn't know how sick until recently. Now Gavin... Cancer is a common term in my house, and my 2-year-old walks around saying, because Levi is now 2, and he walks around saying, Rylan need chemo, but he has no idea what it is. So it's a common word.
That is a blessing that Rylan could still feel like his family was a part of him, even though he was at the hospital because of this technology, because that's not easy when you have 2 little ones and you have another baby of yours in the hospital and to split your time up. It's just so difficult. Because I know when your little one's sick, that's all you want to be with them and comfort them, make them better. I mean, it's just in your mom's heart to do so. So God bless you for having to go through that, because that's not easy. So where does the story go after that? So he gets his treatment, and then does he go home and you have to take him to a clinic? What's going on also in your world of friends? How has this impacted people that you know? Explain something like that to us.
Well, we were admitted, and Rylan had like a colonization in his nose, like an infection that was just sitting in his nose. So he wasn't allowed to walk around with the other patients just because they don't have an immune system. And if they were to get the smallest virus, it can shut them down for quite a few days. So he was in isolation. So he spent 10 days in the same room.
Wow.
Yeah. 10 days in the same room, and we at times would bring the two little brothers in, and they see the playroom and they can't go in the playroom. They see the playground outside, and Rylan couldn't even go outside because it's his first 10 days of diagnosis, and they're trying to figure out how all of these chemos are going to start working, because they start chemo immediately. Like the third or fourth day after being there, he was already getting chemo. As soon as they found out what type of cancer it was, they were on it. And he started having to take it orally. Like, he had to learn how to start chewing up pills or swallowing. At 4 years old, my son is swallowing pills. Like, it's had he had to learn to not be able to eat between certain times because certain chemos need your stomach to be empty. He had a wonderful staff of nurses. They made those 10 days a learning experience, but they also made it pleasant. One of them brought him in a whistle and said, okay, I'm right outside, and if you need anything, you just blow your whistle and I'm gonna come running in. So he'd blow the whistle and I'd hit the button, and then that way she would hear him, quote unquote, you know. So it kind of made it fun because he couldn't go outside. He couldn't meet any of the kids on the floor. We were there for a total of 10 days, and then we got to come home. And Brad played the song Toby Mac, I Was Made to Love You. He blasted that song through the radio or through the windows, and we had balloons just blocking off every. It took him 5 trips to the car to load everything up because we were so beyond blessed with gifts and blankets. And a lady that goes to church with us made Rylan a prayer shawl the very next day that he was admitted, and she brought it into him, and so he called it his Jesus blanket.
His Jesus blanket.
And everywhere, every treatment that he went to, I mean, that thing was wrapped. And I will say that the first few days that we were there, he'd wake up in the middle of the night screaming because he was scared. And I'd get that blanket and I'd swaddle it all around him and hold him tight. And it really was his Jesus blanket, because for some reason, it would just calm him right down and he'd fall right back into sleep.
Now, your son loves church.
Yeah.
But with him being just freshly sick, church wasn't an option for him, right?
It wasn't supposed to be. We came home and we had all these rules, and I thought I was going to have to walk up and down the stairs with a bucket of bleach wiping every corner of the house. And no, we have to be more cautious with where he goes and who he's around. Well, Rylan wanted to go to church. I don't remember what day we came home, but church was within a few days from when we got home, and he said, I want to go to church. And I was like, well, Rylan, we just got out of the hospital. You're still sick. Like, he couldn't grasp what kind of sick he was or how sick he was. But I said, you're sick. You can't go. So I said, okay, well, the only way you're going to go to church, and it's August, is if you wear jeans and a hoodie and a hat and a mask. I tried to make the worst scenario possible. He sure did go upstairs and get a hoodie and hat and a mask. And so we got him all ready, and he couldn't walk. He was, when they started the chemo, it was a very intense treatment. So he was hunched over in a little fetal position. He was crying in pain. His whole body hurt. But for some reason, he's like, no, I want to go to church. So we called a few friends, and we asked them to relay the message that we would be at church, but that they couldn't come up to Rylan and they couldn't hover over him, or like they basically couldn't touch him because he didn't have an immune system. Mm-hmm. So they would come and kind of wave from afar. And it was sad because, you know, we're huggers at our church and we see you and give you a big hug, and the thought that you're there and you're going through so much, but we can't hug you and tell you it's going to be okay.
Now, what the thoughts that are coming to my mind is, here's the kid who's so sick. And he's not looking at God like, why did you do this to me? Because it's very natural to feel that way. God, why do I have cancer? Why did you let me have cancer? It's your fault. This and that. Instead, he he wants to be a part of God so badly. Doesn't matter that he can't walk. It doesn't matter that he is in pain. And it doesn't matter that he had to wear all those heavy things in a desert in August. It didn't matter to him. Yeah. Being in God's presence is all he wanted to do. I mean, that's a huge testimony. I want you to really swallow that down. Really think about this little boy's position and how badly he loved God and wanted to be in that place where God's at. I mean, to me, that's just such a huge testimony. And you just swallow that in for a moment. The other thing is, it's really hard when tragedy hits. I know your son's still alive, but this is still a tragic event. I mean, this is huge. This is a big, heavy position, burden. It is. It's heart-wrenching. It's a big wave has hit your family. And not once that I've known you and your husband have you ever blamed God, which is a total normal experience a lot of people do. You guys always used it for a positive. And people are going to say, well, why did God let this happen? Why did God let this happen? Karina's going to tell you some stories of how Gavin's situation affected people. And they changed their lives. Oh, sorry, Ryland. Sorry. Changed lives 180. But not just because Ryland's sickness impacted people. But the fact that we live in a fallen world and our bodies are not perfect and we get sick because of the sin nature that's just in this world. That's why people get sick, not because God put sickness on people. That's not him. If you really want to understand who God is, that's not God. He doesn't throw sicknesses down on people. It's just part of being in a corrupt body. It breaks down, and that's just how it is. But tell me about some of Brad's friends that have been impacted by Ryland's illness.
Well, Brad had it's his best friend. It was the best man at our wedding. He found God through Ryland's testimony. He knew that we went to church regularly. He knew what our faith was. He knew what our beliefs were. But he wasn't ready to go there. He wasn't ready to embrace that and to learn more and to have that relationship. And when Ryland got sick, when we were at the hospital, my husband calls him and he says, you know, I don't know what their conversation was like, but I know that he basically said, Ryland has cancer and we're at the hospital. It's funny when you get really sick, you really find out, I'm gonna cry, you really find out who loves you and who's willing to dig deep and who's willing to fight this with you. Because it's not, just because Ryland has it doesn't mean that it's only Ryland has it. It impacts everybody around that person. And so Brad's friend called in sick that day. Of all the days to call in sick, he calls in sick. And the story I am told is that he was riding in an elevator and the pastor was riding with him from our church. Little did he know that that was our pastor, because he never attended our church. He didn't know who our pastor was. And he hears the pastor telling the other elders, because they were coming in to pray with Ryland. He hears them saying, it's not God's will for Ryland to die. Like, Ryland's going to beat this. The pastor's talking Ryland up, and Brad's friend's kind of sitting behind or standing behind them and just quiet. Doesn't say a word, doesn't acknowledge them, doesn't even say, how do you know Ryland? Nothing. So his friend gets off the elevator, comes into the room, and the pastor and the elders kind of sat back and they prayed or did whatever they did. I'm not sure, but they prepared themselves to come into the room. And so Brad's friend comes in, and what do you know? These guys that were in the elevator come in right after him. And so his friend got to witness the true power of what God does. That he doesn't throw you in a situation and leaves you to fend for yourself. He puts you somewhere, but he gives you an army of soldiers that are going to fight with you. And that's what he did. his friend now is a strong believer in Christ, writes wonderful music for Christ. He's constantly trying to better himself and pray and read. And I mean, you can tell that this man now has God in his heart, and there is no going back. He continues to move forward and forward. And I don't think that Rylan got cancer so that he can be saved, right? But I think that
God used it. Whenever bad things happen to us, we sing that song about all things work together for my good. And that's just the truth. When bad stuff happen, God always uses it to bless people, because he loves us so much and he knows bad things are going to happen. And he's going to turn that bad situation to somehow some good is going to come out of it.
If you would like to follow Rylan Kruger's story, you can always visit his Caring Bridge page at caringbridge.org/visit/Rylan, R-Y-L-A-N, Kruger, K-R-U-E-G-E-R. That's caringbridge.org/visit/Rylan Kruger.